Hi everyone, this is Ray Otis and you are listening to Plundergrounds. Today is an all call-in show. I have some things to say about each one of these great call-ins, and so let's get to it.
Hello Ray, incoming message blitz from Spike Pit. Been really enjoying your stuff lately, as always. I feel like I say it every time, the same things, but it's good to hear some new voices, like Jim with his poetry. I think it really struck a chord. Your comments afterwards as well. I didn't know worry or probably anxiety until my first child was born. And, you know, it literally changed me as a person overnight. There's wonderful things about being a parent. But, you know, the stakes get higher. And that's just life, I guess. I'm going to have to do some more messages because a minute is woefully inadequate. So feel free to sprinkle these through your segments.
Absolutely, Colin. I really love hearing from new people too. And I love hearing from my old favorites. So I love hearing from everybody. But the more voices, the better, I say. And things really do change overnight, don't they, when you have kids. I remember that I used to love the show ER, medical drama show. And of course, it was very common for people to come into the ER with severed limbs from traffic accidents or bleeding out from Ebola or something, you know, very, very crazy. And I don't know, I just loved all that. It's like the show House, too. I loved all that kind of craziness. But then I was watching ER one day after my son was born in 1999, and a father comes running into the ER with his toddler in his arms, and the toddler has a pin in his throat, like an ink pin, I think. And, you know, they quickly figure out what it is and that it's not life-threatening and take care of it. But I realized at the time that I was gripping the arms of my chair with white knuckles and not enjoying myself at all, that I was so anxious that it was no longer fun to watch the show, and I had to stop watching the show because I thought, I watch the show for entertainment. And if it's not entertaining to me, if it's causing me stress, then I don't want to watch it anymore. And, you know, we go through phases in our life where things are stressful, more stressful than they would be otherwise. And I think that's important to remember at the gaming table, that people do have stress points and things that make them anxious, and we are there to have fun. And so it's okay for somebody to speak up and say, hey, could we move away from this subject area that is just it's making me uncomfortable? And that doesn't make them a snowflake or an overly sensitive person. It just means they're not having fun with that. And we should always be aware of that, because, you know, what's the goal, right? The goal is for everyone to have a good time and for us to have a neat experience that we're all on board with. Cool. All right, and I will do just what you said and sprinkle your messages throughout the podcast. So we'll hear from you again in just a little bit.
Hello, Ray. Arfed here. Just been listening to the latest podcast. Really enjoyed the craziness of it all. When he's going off on one topic and then leading to another topic. Your little chat with me brother during your podcast. I really like it when you just do it on the fly. So, a bit of feedback there. Also liked listening to your opinions on the dice versus card sort of theories. Me and my brother been doing a little chat and a potential podcast coming up about board gaming and how it links in or possibly links into role playing. So we was also talking about dice and cards, and I'm actually looking at some sort of card system. So going against what you're saying there, but really enjoying the podcast, and keep it up. Thanks, bye.
Yeah, there's two things worth talking about there, Arfed. One of them is that cards can be quite good in board games, and they can be quite good in modern war games as well for driving unexpected events or as resource utilities. So there's a lot of ways they can be used. And I just have never found them to be all that great in role-playing games, and I don't know why. I have tried to design around them myself. I had a game about a group of individuals who rode fantastic beasts, and I called it The Pack, and you played it with a pack of cards, and you, as part of the game, you wrote on the pack of cards with Sharpies, so that permanent markers, so that during the game you could reincorporate bits of it into the game and get points for that, but somehow it never quite worked out. So good luck, I guess, is what I'm going to say with that. And as far as the tie-in between role-playing games and board games, that's the other thing I think is worth talking about. And I think I may have mentioned this on my last podcast. I'm not sure. I talked about everything and nothing, if that makes sense. I really had so many more things to say that I didn't get a chance to say. And one of them is that as a role-playing gamer, as a person that loves fantasy and science fiction, I feel like everything I do that's game-oriented, and whether that's board games or war games or card games or even just parts of my life that I gamify, that there's a role-playing element to all of those things. And especially board games, I know that I really want to be in the fiction of the game. There are times when I enjoy just a straight up strategy game, and I don't mind a pasted on theme if the game mechanics are fun, but I enjoy it more if I can kind of get into character. So even if it's just a silly game like Clue, and by the way, I'm gonna, as I say, window out here, Clue is a game that gets much better with two fixes. So I'm gonna suggest this if you've ever played the game Clue, that number one, you throw out the die and just assume everybody moves six squares, because that die roll is stupid. That really messes up the game. And then number two, throw away the notepads and try to keep all the notes in your head, so nobody's allowed to take notes. That makes the game way more interesting, let me tell you. It leads to more false guessing, and it's just kind of a, I don't know, I love it that way. My brother and I play that way, and it's way better. But thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. I also appreciate the affirmation that it's okay for me to just to be more informal and casual with my podcasting. Really helps me get more of those out and be less uptight about them, and less scripted too, I think. So thanks.
Hey Ray, this is JJ. I'm responding to your Creative Crises episode. Your words about your creative process and the struggles that you sometimes encounter in creating your artwork and your games really resonated with me. If you're wondering whether it was worthwhile to share those thoughts, I say absolutely. I think that there are other creatives out there that will benefit from hearing that they're not alone in their struggles, and that with perseverance, they can bring their dreams and their ideas to light to share with others. Keep up the great work.
Oh my God, you destroyed 80% of what you created? Ah, it makes my heart hurt. I can't. Oh my God, no, don't, Ray, oh my God. All right, I'm going to listen to the rest of your podcast, but I just had to say, ah, to that. Okay, there you go. Over and out. This is Ivy, the Happy Whisk.
That makes me laugh every time I listen to it. Oh, my gosh. Hey, thanks, JJ, for the kind words, and thanks, Happy Whisk, for sending that in and giving me a good laugh. Yeah, I do. I do. I destroy stuff all the time. Sometimes I redo it and make it better, I think, the second time around, and sometimes it just disappears, and that is what it is. I always think it'd be fun to dig through some other artist's slush pile, the things that they've thrown away, and try to make cool things out of them, or just dust them off and put them out there, because they're probably better than the artist thinks they are. But, you know, that's just the kind of the way I am. I'm slightly embarrassed about most of my stuff. And you can ask JJ, who I game with, and often he'll kind of ask me something about a game at our game night that I've made. And a lot of times I've kind of just, I don't blow him off, but I kind of say, oh yeah, you know, like I say a few words about it, but I never know quite how to react. It's a weird thing, I guess. I don't know. I don't think it's humility. I don't necessarily think of myself as a humble person, but I don't know. Creativity's an odd beast, isn't it? But thanks for your call in, JJ and Ivy.
Ray, this is Carl from the Mega Dungeon. Thank you for your segment on tables. Some of those ideas are entirely new to me, and this is why I keep listening to Anchorcast. So I have yet another variation to share. It's a three-column table and can be as long as needed, so D6, D8, D12, etc. Each column represents what happens the second and third time that number is rolled. What this does is allow you to up the intensity of that initial encounter or continue the mini-plot of that encounter. For example, I roll a 5. Which in my Bayou setting is a hanged man with a note. The second time I roll that, it's a zombie with a broken noose around its neck. And the third time I roll a 5, they encounter a hangman with zombie bodyguards. So that's the intensity or mini plot table in a nutshell. Great podcast as always.
That is a fantastic idea for a table. I absolutely love that. And thank you for making an example of it and leaving it on my MeWe stream and on your MeWe stream. So if people want to see that, you can go have a look. It's just a really cool idea. It works really well with Dungeon World too, because the whole Power by the Apocalypse game thing is they say, you know, show a threat, like tease a threat before it actually matters so that players have a chance to respond to it. So that gives you a way to kind of foreshadow troublesome areas. And in old school gaming, it's a great way to let people know that maybe they shouldn't get into that area or to run away when they do. So that's really cool. And I guess even if it weren't just, I like the way you've done it where it gets more intense as you go across the columns, but you could also just use it like random encounter tables so that once they roll one of them, you could kind of scratch it off and you'd have another like fill-in prepared, you know, a backup so that the next time they roll that number, it just goes to that one. Just a great idea. So thank you for that. Very cool. And I left a call into your podcast to ask you some questions about tables and mega dungeons. Really enjoying your stuff. Keep it up.
One of the best things I learned in writing way, way back when the land was flat was that not to tell my story to anyone until I told it to the page first or myself first, like on the page. Get it all out there on the paper, and that's just been fantastic. I mean, everything is right there and raw first, and then I can say, hey, look what I wrote, read this, instead of talking the subject out. I always write it out first. I don't know. That works. All right. This is Ivy, Happy Whisk. I think this is like my second message on your podcast. All right. I'm going to go finish listening to the rest of it. Bye.
Hey, Ivy, you can leave as many messages as you want if they're going to be all that good. Yes, that's absolutely true. It's a great bit of advice. You can easily talk out an idea and kill it by just talking about it too much before you get it down in some kind of raw form. I think it's just a case of where you don't want other people to influence the other idea too much before you put it out in its first incarnation. And then you are able to distance yourself from it as well as, you know, assimilate the feedback of others in making an appraisal of whether the original idea was good or not. When you talk it out, it's still kind of half-formed. It's still malleable. And when you start taking other people's input at that point, it kind of it becomes their thing or your shared thing. And often gets more vanilla in the process. It kind of loses what it is that you wanted to put out there to begin with. So great thought. Thank you.
So Ray, I think we need to do another crosscast, mate, because me leaving endless messages is kind of unwieldy, I guess. And I don't want to hog your episodes, but concept art. I think we need that as a topic. There's a lot I've got to say about that and sketchbooks further. I think it kind of fits in with the artistic creativity theme type of angle that we've got going on. So let us know if you're up for that. Give us a call in, whatever you fancy. And the other thing I wanted to say was I loved that little like clip of soundbite. So what I was looking for. Your soundbite at the end of the episode's really amusing. And yeah, keep it up, mate. I hope to speak to you soon.
Yeah, Colin, that's a date. I mean, we should do that for sure, because I have a lot to say on that as well. I think the gist of it is that it just leaves lots of white space for the imagination, more so than a polished work does. But there's a lot of other things to say, so we will talk about that. And I do love putting in those little end clips. What I have exclusively restricted myself to is only taking bits from people's call-ins. So while I'm tempted to, when listening to other people's podcasts, to take out a snippet of something they've said, I've decided to only take it out of the things that they call in. And it's fun to find little bits to pull out and put in after the music. And if you don't know what Colin's talking about, then you often prematurely turn off the podcast, I guess, and don't listen all the way through to the end of the music. So you might want to start doing that. Okay, I think we can call it a wrap. Great show, everybody. I don't feel like today's show was my show. It was really just a bunch of great things said by other people, and that is awesome by me. I'll do that any day of the week. So, signing off, this is Ray Otis, and you've been listening to Plundergrounds. You can get links to all of my projects at www.rayotis.com. That's R-A-Y-O-T-U-S. The opening and closing music, as always, is You Can Use Me by Captive Portal, and until next time, look out for rust monsters.
It's Ivy from the Happy Whisk. Thank you for the lovely words. It's a lot of fun here on Anchor, and it is a conversation. And that is the best part. Good podcast, and I will see you in the next one.